Gotta have a smile somewhere in there. Praise the Lord. That's Brother Paul. That's it. All right on. Well, and again, in preparation for Alpha, which is starting next Sunday, as they get the video queued up, I want to remind you again that our theme for the year is on giving. We encourage you to give a little bit of effort in inviting some folks, neighbors, friends, to come and attend the Alpha class, those who may not know the Lord. So we want to remind you of the theme of giving, and we're going to stay with that until the end of the year. I want to remind you Alpha starts next week, and we certainly would love to have as many of you who've never attended the class, and especially those outside of our church community or the faith community. So invite friends and families to come and do that. While they're getting that video queued up, why don't you turn with me to the book of Psalms? And we're going to look at Psalm number 1 as our text for today. We're going to read it, come back, watch the video, and then get into the text. All right. Now, did I just completely mess him up? Did I? Okay. All right. All right. So let's read real loud and double loud if you haven't read your Bible all week. Okay. We're going to read Psalm number 1. It's a very familiar psalm to, I think, many of us. You know, we almost have this memorized. So on the count of three, 1, 2, 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatsoever he does prosper. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, or sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Amen. Let me see your Bibles if you got them with you. This is my Bible. It is the unadulterated, inspired, authoritative Word of God for my life. I will read it slowly. I will read it prayerfully. I will read it carefully. I will abide by its precepts. I will live by its principles. And I will stand on its promises. I declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, let's watch that Alpha promotion, and we'll get into our text if we're able to do that.
How does God guide us? Well, in many different ways.
I'd have to say he guides us with everything we see, like during the day, from the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed.
I don't know. I kind of believe that God kind of steps back and lets us do our own thing.
I think he just kind of leaves it up to our own discretion.
Being a Muslim, I believe that God is near to everybody's life.
I don't really believe in God, so.
I don't know if I believe in a God so much.
In some ways, he provides a roadmap for them or a way of living, and then they want to follow that path.
God guides you in the way that you...
I don't know. I don't know. I guess on my personal beliefs, if he, like, directly actually has those, that impact.
Prove yourself, I guess, you know? Like, lots of people think that, like, oh, I have to make sure that I'm worthy enough to, you know, so that when I die, I'm going to the place that I want to go to, or... I am doing this because God is up there watching me and my parents are up there watching me, and I want them to know that I'm a good person and I'm doing down here on earth what I'm supposed to be doing.
Awesome. Well, those views that you see on these Alpha promotions are not dramatizations of... Excuse me a second. Got to sneeze. It's not going to come now. See? are not dramatizations. They're real people that they've interviewed and on an ongoing basis, and to put these clips together for us. And I think it just tells us how people view God today. And I think it shows us, hopefully it shows us, the kind of work that has to be done so that we can be a source of influence to our world and to those who don't know the Lord. And so when we gather for Alpha next week and the next following 8 weeks, these are some of the topics that we're going to be covering. Like, how do you know God exists? And we're going to talk about a lot of these things. Does he just stand back like a big clock and just kind of leaves us on our own? And where we go from here? So I want to encourage you to give attention to that and into your own life. So let's look at our text today. And it's the psalm, the first psalm. The author is unknown. And I do want to speak to you this morning from the subject, if you are blessed and you know it, say amen. Amen. All right. Now I want you to look around and see all the people that are shouting amen, okay? If you are blessed and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Look to the other side. Okay, this could be a test for you. If you're blessed and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
So there's every person in this sanctuary almost who has confirmed that they are blessed, right? Every person in the sanctuary just confirmed to me that they are blessed, right?
Yes.
All right. So we are going to look into the life of a blessed person. And my challenge for you today, New Hope, is to, as we make our way through the text and we pull out the nuggets that are there, I want you to look and see where you would line up with some of these character traits of a blessed person. Because you just confirmed to me that you're all blessed. Is there anybody in the house? You just confirmed to me that you are blessed. Amen? So we're going to look at the life of a blessed man, and I want to ask you to look at your own life, and I'm not going to convince you. So if you feel a little uncomfortable, that's the Holy Spirit working in you, and what you need to do at the end of the service is find yourself at the altar and bow before God and fix whatever he's telling you to give adjustments to. Amen? All right. So that's my encouragement for you. If you are blessed and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. There are many yardsticks by which we measure blessings or success. And among them, of course, wealth and power, position and prestige. If a person has these things, we would consider them to be blessed. We would consider them to be prosperous. But this is not always the case, because there are many individuals who have all of these things, but internally they're in turmoil. And so these can be indicators from the worldly system of success, but not always necessarily be true success. However, measuring spiritual success and the blessings of a Christian can be a little bit more difficult. Because it's not necessarily what we have on the outside, but it's what's taking place on the inside. And sometimes what we see on the outside is just a small portion, a small representative of what's taking place on the inside. And so we want to encourage you today to look at the life of a blessed man. And so Psalm number 1 exists, and we find insight into what makes a believer blessed or successful. And I want to challenge you to not only verbalize that you're blessed, but to live blessed and to exist blessed and to go to sleep blessed and to walk around all day blessed. And we're going to line up some things by what we see in the text. And when you look at verse number 1 of our text, it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." The wicked in our text is representative of those who do not know the Lord. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're evil, malicious, vindictive people. It's representative of those people who do not know the Lord. They have not expressed faith in the Lord for whatever reason. Perhaps they've never been given an opportunity to come to faith in God. And so when we speak of the wicked, we're speaking of those who are not in the body of Christ or not in God's kingdom. And so it says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So what I want to point out to you, that the blessed man, number one, is a separated man. The blessed man is a separated man. The blessed man is separated in his walk of life. He does not, number one, believe like those who do not know the Lord believe. Do I have a witness this morning? So when someone doesn't know the Lord and they run into hard times, they can turn around. I've seen it many times where they turn around and they curse God. And they want to know why life is treating me this way. And they're mad and they're bitter and they're resentful. But the man who knows that he's blessed thanks the Lord in the midst of his adversity as well as in his prosperity. And so the blessed man is separated in his walk because he doesn't believe like the wicked. He doesn't believe that when he's going through difficulty that God is sitting up on a big throne, beating him with some big stick and making his life miserable. So when you come across Christians who profess that, then something is wrong by what they believe and what they profess, because the behavior is different. And so when you are blessed, you believe differently and you do not take counsel from those who are unwise or those who do not understand the way of God's leading and directing. This is why when I send folks to get counseling, I don't send them to a secular psychiatrist, because in a secular world, most of those individuals do not believe that the body is divided into three parts. And so they are willing to treat the body, and they're willing to treat the emotion, but there's a spiritual man that needs some help as well. And if you don't deal with the spiritual man, you can't deal with the emotional man and the physical man. And so the blessed man understands that he believes differently. And so this morning I want to tell you that if you are a blessed man, you ought to believe differently. You ought to believe that God is a just God, and nothing that happens in your life is beyond the scope of his vision and his visibility. You have to understand that the blessed man believes differently, that when there seems to be no way, your God makes a way out of no way. You have to believe that God is able to do more than you can think and imagine just because of who he is. And so the blessed man is a separated man in what he believes. He is also a separated man in how he behaves. I don't know how many times we see people who profess to be believers or Christians, and they behave completely different than what we think should be modeled. And so there ought to be a difference in the behavior as well. Can I get a witness, somebody? So when we look at the text and it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. We see that this is a man who behaves differently. Because when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 15:5-17, that the old has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. What's passed away? The flesh is still the same. The emotion is still the same. But the spirit man has been regenerating. So there have to be a different behavior for those who are in faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let me pause here and say to you that all of us are works in progress. Each and every one of us, we might be 98% pretty good, but all of us have one or two things that can trip us up on any given day. And I believe God allows us to have those thorns in our side to remind us, because if any of us was 100% perfect, we would become very arrogant. And so I'm thankful to God that he leaves those there. But it's important for us to understand that certain behavior is expected and should be modeled from the child of God. Not that we don't make mistakes, but the fact that we ought to be moving towards a faith and pressing on towards the marks of a higher calling in Jesus Christ. And so if a person is a believer and they were still making the same mistakes when they were one day old in the faith, and now they're 35 years old in the faith and they're still making the same mistake and still doing the same thing, it tells you that they haven't learned and there haven't been any growth. So there has to be a different behavior. He believes differently. He behaves differently. And then he understands that he belongs differently. The text tells us that he does not stand in the way of sinners. You know, there was an old preacher, I think it was C.L. Franklin. Leo Daniels. He's passed away now, an American preacher. And, of course, he was invited to preach at a revival. And so he was in Chicago, and he was preaching. I think it was a night before there was a revival. So he decided that he was going to go down into one of the sport lounge and maybe just hang out there and listen to some good jazz music. Figured that he would slip in the back, have a bit of a solo. And so he was telling the story of how he got up. He was there sitting there enjoying some good jazz music. And God makes music, and music ought to be enjoyed. You don't always have to listen to just Christian music. There's some good music. God is love. He makes love songs. So that Leo Daniels is sitting there, and he's enjoying the music, and the song leader, not the song leader, but the band leader, get up on stage, and he said, "Now listen, you know, when we start playing, we want you to put your hands together, because we want you to know that you're with us." And he says, "It's kind of like church, isn't that right, Reverend Daniels?" And so Reverend Daniels started looking around to see who Reverend Daniels was, and when he had a moment, he slipped out the back. But you know that when you're not in a particular environment, you ought to belong differently. And when you're in that environment, you feel differently when you're not around your people. And so there ought to be something on the inside that if you're in a crowd that doesn't belong to God, you ought to feel different. So something different about a person who can sit amongst non-believers, indulge in their conversation, do all the nastiness, and still think that it's all right. So a blessed man is one who believes differently, one who behaves differently, and he belongs differently. There's some places I just don't go. There's some folks I just don't hang around, because I understand that bad company corrupts good character. I understand that. So when we look at the life of a blessed man, I want to remind you that a blessed man is a separated man. He's got to walk differently. He's got to talk differently. He got to dress differently. Because he's representing his Lord and Savior. And this is sometimes, I guess, frustrated with church folk, because sometimes you can't always tell the difference between saved and those who are the non-saved and the saved. Because sometimes we dress the same way, we walk the same way, we talk the same foul language and behave the same way. But God's people ought to be distinctively different. People ought to be able to tell there's something different about you. And so I want to encourage you today that if you're blessed and you know it, and you just said amen, then you ought to be a separated life. You ought to live a separated life. Not only is he separated, but he's also a saturated man. What are you talking about, preacher? Because the Bible says that he meditates upon the word when? Oh, man. So why is it then that if a man is a blessed man and he meditates on God's word day and night, if we took away Genesis 1:1, Psalm 23, and probably John 3:16, most people are hard-pressed to come up with some other scriptures. Why is that? On what? Slow brain cell. But you know, when you begin to study and read something over and over and over again, it sticks with you. It sticks with you. And so my encouragement to you is that the blessed man is not only separated, but he's saturated. The word of God has captured his full attention, because the Bible says in verse number 2, but he delights in the law of the Lord. I delight in ice cream. I delight in a nice stew fish. I delight in some jerk chicken. I delight in football. You know, I mean, you don't have to get me excited about football. I mean, I went to Buddy's game on Friday, came home and watched the CFL game and watched two of them in a row. I delight in that. And because I delight in it, guess what? I invest my time in it. And then I come to church and I'm doing my devotion, and sleep is upon me. So my encouragement to you is that if we want to be blessed, which we confirmed just now that we are, then my encouragement to you that the Word of God must capture our heart and our essence. And so, New Hope, we want to grow our congregation, and we want to grow the kingdom of God. But again, I asked you this question last week, and I want to encourage you to give attention to it. I mean, think in the last 7 days, how many times you got into the Word of God to read it for a devotion? How many times you got down on your knees and spent 10, 15 minutes in isolated prayer with the Lord? And so if the answer is zero, and you continue to do this day in, week in, month in, year in, then how can we expect to be blessed people when we don't delight in the things of the Lord? And so I am challenging you, but I'm encouraging you and loving you that this book is the book that we ought to spend some time in and get close to Almighty God. You've got a problem that you can't solve. There is an answer in the Word of God for that. You got a situation you don't know how to work through. There is an answer in the Word of God for that. And so, but the Word of God must capture a person's full affection. You got to love it. You want to breathe it in. You want to study it. You want to get digging. When I get studying, I got Bibles all over the place, books all over the place, looking. But you just never can just read it through once and say, well, I've read it through once and that's it. It's an ongoing work of process and progress. And every time you read it, you discover something that you missed the first time. Because as we read it, we change. And as we change, it reflects what's taking place on the inside of us. And there's some things I read that I've missed before. Man, I've been reading this thing for years. I've never discovered this. But every time I go back to the Word, I see something new and something refreshing. So my encouragement to you, the blessed man, the blessed man. The blessed man is a separated man. The blessed man is a saturated man because the Word of God has captured his full affection, but also it has captured his full attention. This is why when you come to church, I challenge you to hold up your Bible and just affirm the Word of God, because I know that some of us are so busy during the week that we didn't have any time or don't have any time or don't make any time to go in and get into God's Word. The Word of God has captured his full attention. He's got it in his sight. He's focused on it, and he's committing himself to get in and study what the Word of God has to say. Let me tell you something about the Word of God. The Word of God is food if you're hungry. It will feed you. Job 23 and 12, and Matthew 4 and 4. The Word of God is milk for the baby. Now, let me pause it for a little bit now. 1 Peter 2 and 2 tells us that. But how long does a baby remain a baby? We got a little baby in the church. We got Mr. Little Caleb Dingwell in the church. Now, it's okay at this stage in Caleb's life for him to be walking around with a bottle. Isn't it right? What happens if Caleb's become 7 or 8 years of age and he's still walking with a bottle and a diaper? There's something wrong, right? What happens when Caleb is 13 years old and he's still walking around in diapers and a bottle? All right. What happens if he's 35 years old and he's still walking around in a diaper and a bottle? What would you say to him? I'm going to get myself in some trouble. You know, we got lots of Christians walking around in diapers and bottles around the church, eh? Hello, somebody. Haven't grown up. Still on milk. Still on milk. And there's nothing wrong with the digestive system. If Caleb did that, we would wonder, we would ask Brandon and Christina, now listen, Christina and Brian, what's going on? Like, why is that boy still in diaper and a bottle? You know? I know they would not let that happen. But why do we allow it to happen in the church? So the Word of God is milk for the baby. It is meat for the grown-up. Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. It provides all that we need to make us strong in the Lord. It is meat for the grown up. So this is why when you come to New Hope, I'm not going to feed you sermon light. And I understand that we may suffer some consequences for it, but I will not serve you sermon light. You may have to go to Deep Freeze Church and they'll get you sermon light over there. wherever that is. The word of God is bread for everyone. John 6:51. And bread is a staple food for most people, no matter what part of the world they live in. Most people eat bread. But the word of God is bread for the believer. It is honey for those who are in need. It'll sweeten you up. And Lord knows some folks need to be sweetened up. Have you ever been in church and you see some folks, and if you look at their outward expression, it would be hard to convince yourself that they haven't been drinking lemon juice all night? It's true, right? So the word of God, when you feed on it, it'll sweeten you up. There's no way you can tell me that you are in the word of God on a daily basis, and you can come into a church with music and people singing and shouting, and you look like you've been just drinking gallons of lemon juice all night long. Something is wrong. Something is definitely wrong. So if you're in the word, it will sweeten you up. It'll sweeten you up. The word is light. If you're in a dark place, Psalm 119:105 tells us the word is light. The word is truth. John 17:17, thy word is truth. The Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The word is a mirror. You can look in it, and it'll give you a reflection of who you are. So it behooves us to not want to be individuals that want to grow and to change, because if you look in the mirror, you're going to look and say, man, I got to change what I see if I don't like what I see. The word is water. It'll quench your thirst. The word cleanses. It's hard to read the word, know that there's sin or unconfessed sin in our lives, read the word, and still continue going along the path with no remorse. It quenches. It refreshes us. It is a seed. It is a sword. It is a hammer. It builds you up. It can tear you down as well. And it's a fire. It'll burn things up. And so the blessed believer has to be in love with the word of God, because he knows in its pages he can find everything that is required for his soul. It embodies the complete revelation of God to him. It meets the needs of every Christian. And I want to ask you a question today. Do you love God's word? Because if you love God's word, you will stay and dwell in God's word. Because if you're blessed and you know it, the word of God will saturate you. It will keep you separated and saturated. But then there's also some other beauties about the word of God. If you go to point number 3 and verses 3 of our text. And verse 3 says that a blessed man, he, not that he's a tree, but he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaves does not wither. Whatsoever he does, prosper. Can we just dig this verse number 3 apart? Let me share some things with you that I discovered. Let's look at his position. The promises of verses number 3 are conditional. When we live separated lives and feed our souls on God's word, only then we can expect to be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. When we live separated lives, when we live saturated lives, only then can we become like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The blessed man is a supplied man, but he is supplied after he chooses to be separated and saturated. And look at his position. He's by the river. Have you ever seen a tree by the river that is alive, but it looks like it's dead? Doesn't happen. It's either it's alive or it's dead. So the next time you go by a river, you take a look. So look at his position. He's always close. The blessed man is always close to the life-giving source. There is no way, my friends, that we can stay away from God's word in study and prayer, stay away from God's people, and still expect to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, expecting to bring forth fruit in the season. It won't happen. So I want to ask you today, where are you positioned in your walk with Jesus Christ? Where is your position? A tree planted by the river is never dry, it's never wilted, but it's green, lush, and lovely. The believer who lives close to God will never be dry and wilted either. He will be vibrant, lively, and productive. This is why sometimes I have difficulty wrapping my mind around when we come to church, we need somebody to stir us up. Because a believer who is separated and saturated and is by a tree planted, like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, don't need nobody to turn you on. You can turn yourself on. You can get happy just praising God all by yourself. You don't need nobody helping you. So this bothers me sometimes because I don't understand it. So it tells me that there may be many who are not separated and saturated but expect to be supplied. But you can only expect the supply when you choose to be separated and saturated. Now look at the prominence of this tree that is planted by this river of water. He is not a shrub. He is not a vine, but he's a tree. Tell somebody, I'm a tree. And if you're a Joseph, you say, I'm a tree. That's a Trinidadian tree. Look at its prominence. It's famous. When you pass by a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, it's not a shrub, it's not a vine, it rises above the others because there is moisture, there is nutrients. Photosynthesis is taking place, and so this tree is lush and it's green and it's easy to be seen. I believe the Christian ought to be easy to be seen. People ought to pick us out from among the dandelions. You shouldn't look like a dandelion. They should be able to tell that's not a weed. That's a beautiful flower. So the prominence, the life of the believer stands ahead of all of those around him. It is easily seen when a man draws from the Lord. Men will know that you have been with Jesus. And we see this in Acts chapter 4, verse 13, because when the disciples began to speak and Peter began to speak, they said, aren't these unlearned men? And they were speaking in such a way that they know they were uneducated, but they knew that something had happened to them because these men had been with Jesus. It's hard to be with Jesus and still be the same again. When you truly come into the presence and the knowledge and the revelation of Jesus, you cannot be the same. There has to be a change from the inside working on the outside, because that's what Jesus does. And I want to encourage you, let him create that change in you. So we notice the permanence. This tree is not scattered, but he's like a tree that is planted. Planted. You know, when I'm taking care of my grass and I got grass seed, I walk around the yard, but I grab a bag and I go like that. Whatever catches next year, catches. The birds come, and before the fall goes spread, some of it is eaten up. The grass seed's gone. But if I want to have a plant that's going to stay for next year, I don't just scatter the seeds. I dig a hole. I put some fertilizer in there. And I plant it. And I water it. And I make sure that it has all the nutrients that it wants. And the man in the text, a blessed man, is not a man that is just scattered. He's blown away like the wind here, there, and everywhere. He's firmly planted. Can I talk to you about being firmly planted? When you're firmly planted, nobody can look at you funny and get you to move. Nobody can talk about you and get you to move. Nobody can tell you off and get you to move. Why? You're firmly planted. When you're scattered, the least wind that comes that you don't like, you're gone. I want to encourage you to be planted. I see a lot of people not planted. And so a little bit of wind comes, sister so-and-so look at them the wrong way, or brother so-and-so look at them the wrong way, and they are down the road, catching the next bus to Calgary. This is not the life of a blessed believer, Valerie. A blessed believer, there's permanence, you're planted. You can hang in there for the long haul. You can endure, you can fight to the end because you've been planted. Let's look at the productivity of this blessed man. The text tells us that he is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. What do you think that God is expecting of you as a believer? Is that you be fruitful. Tell somebody you got to bear fruit. You got to bear fruit. Look at your other neighbor and tell him, apple trees don't produce oranges. Mango does not produce guava. That's right, Sister Elsie. So if you ever went to a mango tree and you got a guava, you've got a big problem. Right? It brings forth fruit. The successful believer is a blessing to all those around him because he or she is full and plentiful of fruit. God wants us to produce fruit. Can I ask you a question, New Hope? What kind of fruit are we producing? And as we prepare for Alpha and we're thinking of all this evangelism that's taking place, what kind of fruits are we producing? Are we even bearing fruit? Now, let's go into the natural realm just for a little bit. You planted an apple tree 10 years ago, and you water this thing, you fertilize it, you keep the weeds out of it, and it never produces any fruit. After a while, what are you going to do with that thing? Firewood? Firewood? All right? Because in its season, it's supposed to produce fruit. And if it doesn't, there's a problem. And so I want to challenge you that you and I as believers, we are designed to produce fruit. So when we look at our lives and if we don't have any fruit, evidence of fruit, then something is wrong someplace. So we have to give attention to that. God wants us to produce fruit. What kind of fruit are we supposed to produce? Well, we got the fruits of the Spirit, which are? There's a couple that's not in there. I don't know what that. Okay, memorize them for next week and we'll cover them next week. But as believers, we're supposed to produce ourselves. We are supposed to make other believers. We are supposed to produce other believers. So I want to ask you a question. If you've been a Christian for the last 35 years, how many people have you led to the Lord? How many people have you talked to about the Lord? And if the answer is zero, then I want to say to you, something is wrong. And I want you to give attention to that. Because we are supposed to be the hands and the feet of Almighty God, producing fruit. There's no way that you can be connected to the vine or to the tree and not be producing fruit. And there's a season for it. But I think after 35 years, there should be some evidence of fruit. And if there isn't, then I think we ought to give attention to that. So whatsoever he does, he prospers. The successful believer produces fruit. When we look at this predictability, in his season, there is a time for everything. There's going to be a time for weeping and mourning and crying, but there's going to be a time for planting, and there's going to be a time for harvesting. So if you're constantly planting and planting and planting, and you're never reaping, it tells me that something is wrong. Somebody else is stealing your crops. My father and I, when I was probably 8-9 years, we lived in this place called Silver Hill up on the highway. Pearl knows where it is. And we planted sweet potatoes, and it's on sand. And so in the mornings, we would go out, and you would see that somebody had dug the stuff up. And so we keep planting the stuff, and it'd be dug up and gone. You go to reap it, it's gone. So we decided one day we're just going to wait and see what's going on. Oh, lo and behold, early in the morning, the neighbors used to come and just steal the stuff. Right? So my dad got upset and told him, you can't just come and take people's stuff like that. Because you keep planting, you're not reaping. There's something wrong. So somebody's stealing your crop. And so the reason spiritually some things are being stolen from us is because we have allowed some people to come into our vineyards and steal our crops. There's somebody stealing our joy and our happiness. There's somebody stealing the internal satisfaction that God has given to us because we've allowed them to come in. It could be something stealing it as well. Addictions rob us of a lot of things. And so we've got to be careful who we let in. Make sure that there's a fence around us that protects us. And so I want to encourage you today, my friends, that in your season, there has to be some evidence of predictability that you are going to bring forth your crop. Perpetuity, it's eternal. Leaves shall not fade. Well, as I look out the window, I see a lot of leaves starting to fade and starting to change color. But the man that is planted by the rivers of living water, he doesn't go through his leaves turning brown and yellow. His leaves shall never fade. So what color are leaves most of the time? They're green. So a tree with green leaves tells me that it's a vibrant, growing tree. There is no shades, right? So he's not green on Sunday and brown on Friday night. A blessed man is not green on Sunday morning and brown on Friday night. He's green right throughout. Let's look at this prosperity. Whatsoever he does, it shall prosper. I get excited about this because this is the word of God, Edith, and it tells me that whatever I do as a blessed man, if I remain separated and saturated, whatever I do, I will prosper. That is the word of God. It doesn't matter what the enemy says. It doesn't matter what who says. If you remain separated and if you remain saturated, you will be blessed. And whatsoever you do, you shall prosper because that is the word of Almighty God. And there's some people that are not prospering, but it's because they're not remaining saturated and separated. And so God wants you to be separated and saturated, and only then will you begin to be supplied. And when you begin to be supplied, God says, whatever you do, you shall prosper. His life, his family, his business, his church life, his spiritual life will be blessed by the Lord. Isn't that, you know, no matter what storms of sea may come up around him, this successful believer will be able to sail through the storms of life, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. This ought to be good news to the church. Now, when you remain separated and saturated and supplied, let's go to verses 5 and 6. You see, I listen to a lot of preachers, and don't get me wrong, I love some of the guys I listen to, man. They hoop and holler, make a lot of noise and get you wound up and you feel real good. But some of those guys, when you listen to what they say, if you go back to the Bible on Thursday morning, you probably wouldn't find a lot of what they said in the text. I like it when you can go back in the Word of God on Thursday morning and go to verse 5 and 6 and say, this is what the pastor talked about. And don't get me wrong, man, I'd love to have the hammering going and we'd have a ball in here having guys bring me all kinds of hankies all the time because I'm sweating so much, hooping and hollering and kicking up my foot and doing all that. I can do all that stuff. I mean, I can do all of that. I can put on a show for you if I wanted to. But I'm not interested in show business. I mean, I can pull out a purple suit and break it down if you want me to. You know. Let's look at verse 5 and 6 of the text. For the Lord watches over the ways of the righteous. Sorry, let me go to verse 5, sorry. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Now, this to me speaks of future, because even though we're being not necessarily judge today, Sister Etty, but we suffer the consequences for our actions. But there is a judgment day coming when each and every person will have to stand before God and give an account for what they did or what they didn't do. So Psalm 1, 5 and 6 tells me, it says that You know, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season, and his leaves does not wither. Whatsoever he does prosper. Not so are the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in judgment, but the righteous will, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God is looking over you. You might not feel it right now, but God is looking over you. This is his word. And so when we look at the text, there may be some people today who have all the luxuries of life, and it seems like they are living in sin and they're having a good time, and you're trying to serve God and you're suffering and you can't seem to make ends meet and you're struggling. But the people who don't know God or chooses to walk away from him seem to be having a glory, glory time and a sin-filled lifetime, and here you are struggling. But I want to tell you, every day is not payday. But payday is coming, and some people are going to get their payday later on. You might have to struggle today. You might have to cry some midnight tears. You might have to go through some really, really difficult period of time. But I want to encourage you to hold on to God's unchanging hand, because a day is coming for the believer. And verses 5 and 6 of our text tells us that the blessed man is a secure man. They may not have a lot of security in this lifetime, constantly driving my car on empty, don't have good brakes, living in a shack, but if you can just hold on a little bit longer to God's unchanging hands, a day is coming where God says that he watches over the righteous, and the righteous will be secured in their faith, not so the wicked. And I want you to know to stand on your faith, believe God, take him as his word, become separated, become saturated, let him supply your need, and then live in that security, because God's word is yea and amen, and he will see you through. It may not be the way you want to, but he says he watches over the ways of the righteous, and he will see you through. And so the Lord tells us in his text, yes, the wicked, their faith will be put before judgment and cast into eternal damnation. But for those of us who have expressed faith in God, who've learned to lean and depend on Jesus, who will walk around singing, have a little talk with Jesus, he will make it all right. Walking around singing, what a friend I have in Jesus, all my sins and griefs to bear. Walking around singing, oh, amazing grace. But you want to hold on to God. Stay strong with your faith. Get into God's word. Separate yourself. Saturate yourself. Watch God supply. And then one day, the Bible tells us, there's going to be a future for the faithful believer, because the trumpet will sound and time shall be no more. The dead in Christ will rise, and hallelujah, we shall ascend to meet him, and we will go off to the marriage feast of the Lamb and watch God bless us and reward us for our faithfulness. It's not today, but hold on to God's unchanging hands. Stay with God's word. You are blessed not only today, but you're blessed in the future. That's what the word of God tells us. The Lord watches over the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. He's already determined their end, but ours is a glorious future. If you're blessed and you know it, say amen. If you're blessed and you know it, say amen. But the requirements are, you've got to be separated. Separated in what you believe. Separated in how you behave. Separated in where you belong. If you're a blessed man, you've got to be saturated. The word of God has got to have your attention, and it must have your affection. You got to be wrapped up, tied up, tangled up in Jesus, meditating on his word day and night. And then when you get to that place, the text says that he will supply you if you're a blessed man. And not only will he supply you, but he will make you secure. There's a lot of people looking for security in our world today. They're trying to have more cars, more bank accounts, more wives, more children, more of this and more of that. But what can satisfy a hungry soul? Oh, the blood of Jesus. What can satisfy a thirsty soul? What quenches the thirst of an unsaved person? The blood of Jesus. And so people are looking for security. But you have what they're looking for. So share it with them. Let them know that I may not have much on the outside, but what I got on the inside, money can't buy. The blessed man is a separated man. He is a saturated man. He is a supplied man. And he's a secure man. You can't shake his faith. The storms of life doesn't bother him. He understands his future. He understands what is to come and where he's to go. He's not running from this place to that place trying to find meaning and validation. He knows who he is in Christ Jesus. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man who separates himself, saturates himself, allows himself to be supplied, and then to be secure. Are you secure today? Are you secure? Are you secure? Are you secure? Are you secure? Are you secure in your marriage today? Are you secure in your singleness? Are you secure in your finances? Are you secure in your walk with God? Are you secure in yourself? If God should take all of your possession away from you today, will you say like Job, though he slay me, yet will I serve him? Or would you have a bad attitude? I hope you wouldn't have a bad attitude. I hope you wouldn't have a bad attitude. So blessed is the man who's separated, saturated, supplied, and he's secure. I want to live the secure life. Aches and pains, a little bit of struggle here and there, but I'm secure. I'm in the arms of Jesus. I'm his and he's mine. There may be someone here today. Pat, would you come to the piano for if you don't mind? There may be someone here today who is struggling with being separated. Separated from sin. Separated from things that so easily pull you back in. And you make three steps forward and you take two back. Three forward, two back. And can never really seem to get ahead. Maybe there's someone here that's does not allow themselves to be saturated with the Word of God. Time for Dr. Phil and Oprah and American Idol and America's Got Talent. 2.5 men, 3.5 women. What about 66 of God's books? Some of you today that want to be supplied. You want to be green. You want to experience growth, health, life. You want to have a stable position, prominence. You want to feel secure. This is your moment to give God an opportunity to do a great work in your life. The doors of the church are open. The altar is open. If you do not know the Lord today as your personal Savior, let me tell you, you would lose nothing by giving the Lord an opportunity to meet you where you are today. Would you give God an opportunity to meet you where you are today? Would you express faith in Him? The altars are open, my friend. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. If you're blessed and you know it, say amen. But if you don't feel all of the blessings, separatedness, saturatedness, suppliedness, secureness, would you give God an opportunity to help you, meet you? This is your moment. We'll pray with you and we'll help you in any way that we can. doors of the church are open. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, sit in the seat of the mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatsoever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. Chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Give God an opportunity today. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to your name, Lord God. Sensitive to what's taking place at the altar, but I'm going to dismiss you. And if you want to sit in the presence of the sanctuary, by all means, feel free to do so. But if you're going to leave, we just ask that you would be sensitive to the atmosphere in the church. Father, we thank you for this man that is a blessed man. Thank you for pointing out in your word to us how he's a separated, saturated, supplied, and secured individual. Help our people, your children, to be blessed, not only verbally, but to live it physically and spiritually and emotionally. And as you bring the service to a close, dear God, continue to do a great work in all of our hearts and reunite us again for another time of celebration. We thank you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Nola.